So Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. We're going to start in Galatians chapter 3 this morning. And I wanted to talk about, I named this message Supply Source. And I really want to talk about the source of our supply as believers and maturing as believers. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, and I'm reading here out of the New Living Translation, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you." I have a question. Paul has a question for the church. He says, "Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" All right? And so what's happened, which, do we have New Living up there? Or New? Okay, that's fine. Just leave that. That's great. And so he has a question, because what happened in Galatia was the church had come to Christ. They had experienced the power of the Spirit that transformed them. And then they were beginning to go back to Judaism. They began to go back to the law of Moses. And they were talking about the need for people in the church to be circumcised. And Paul came and he said, "Who has bewitched you that you would start something in the Spirit of God's Spirit and power? Now you're moving back into behavior modification, rules and regulations." And the word bewitched actually means to fascinate by false representation. I believe there's preachers in pulpits today that are fascinating people with false representation of who Jesus is. And people are fascinated. "Oh, that really, I like what he's saying. You know, maybe the miracles of Jesus have passed away. Maybe, you know, the Bible wasn't canonized. So maybe that's what it means." And they start, there's a false representation of Jesus. And people get bewitched into moving in. They're deceived. And they begin to move into works. And they begin to move into behavior modification. And they move away from the Spirit's power that saved them. Because the same power that saved you will sustain you. The same power that transformed you will continue to transform you. Because we're to go from glory to glory to glory. Amen? It's supposed to get better. This thing's supposed to get better. I mean, how many times do we hear people get up and, "You know, I got saved in 1972 on a farm. God visited me while I was putting the horseshoe on my horse." And they'd have this great story that was 30 years ago. "Oh, sorry, brother. I didn't mean to." Was that your story? Isn't it greater? So, you know, this morning I had an encounter with God. God transformed my life last week at the altar. I made a fresh commitment to God. I was in my prayer time and God's Spirit was sustaining me. And you're talking about the moving of the Spirit in the present, not in the past. Isn't God good? So Paul's question is this: did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And so Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 to 21. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. This is what Paul is telling them in the chapter beforehand. He says, "For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me." Okay? Galatians 2, 19. "So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all of its requirements." Some of us have to really stop trying to meet all the requirements. Amen? I had a pastor tell me once, "You need to stop trying not to sin and start trying to fall in love with Jesus. And when you fall in love with Jesus, you lose interest in the sin." "I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. Because my old self was crucified with Christ, it no longer lives. So it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And gave himself for me." I find it hard because I know all of these scriptures by memory. But trying to teach in the New Living, I have to read them all because I'm trying to simplify it for those who are new in the faith. "So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And so Paul is saying, I live this life of faith by trusting in him who saved me. Amen? And so by putting our trust in Jesus, we grow, we develop, and we change. And so it's very important to understand this, is that we can't keep trying to improve our lives in our own strength. We came to Jesus, how? By faith. We believed and we received the Spirit of God. And then we have to live that way. In fact, in Hebrews, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And it is impossible to please him without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. And so this is the key. Say, this is the key. Those who come to God must believe that he exists. So first of all, you have to believe that there is a God. And most of us, we're here because we have no problem with that concept, right? We believe there's a God. That's why we're in church. But the second thing is you have to believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently trust him. And if you get anything out of today's message, I want you to understand this, is that God is a rewarder. I mean, every time you get on your knee and you pray, God's going to reward you for it. Every time you implement a change in your life to get closer to God, there's a reward that's coming. It doesn't matter what you're doing. God's intention is to reward you. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And it really doesn't matter. You say, you know, I've been praying for years. I'm telling you, there's a reward coming because God is a rewarder. Isn't he? And so the enemy wants the church to believe that God doesn't want to reward them. The Bible says in James, it says, don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of light, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning in his character. He is a good God. So if the enemy can get you to think that he doesn't want to reward me, you know, I'm going to pray because I need more of God. I'm going to pray because I need to press in. I'm going to pray because I need a breakthrough. No, you don't. You need to pray because you love him. You need to press into him. And I'll tell you what, he'll reward you for it. He has your best interest at heart. Amen. And if we would realize that every time we go to praying, every time we go to press into him, that he wants to reward us, he wants to bless us, he wants to change us. Amen? Now, I'm going to use the word trust instead of faith, because we can understand that. So without trust, it's impossible to please him. You see, you can't build a healthy relationship without trust. Amen? Healthy relationships that go the distance are built on trust. You can love somebody and not trust them. And how many know that's a dysfunctional relationship? And it's not going to last. And you know, we have Christians that sit in churches that have been saved for years. And they don't trust God. God says clearly in his word that he loves you. His thoughts for you are like the sands of the seas. The Word of God says that, you know, that there's so many scripture after scripture after scripture talking about the love of God. If he gave Jesus on the cross the most precious thing in all eternity, how much more will he freely give you all things? It talks about his unconditional love all through the New Testament. We talk, God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And Christians don't believe it. They don't trust that God wants to reward them. I want to encourage you this morning that God, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if you seek him, you need to know he's going to reward you. Amen? He's not going to hit you over the head. He's not going to condemn you. He's going to reward you. Why? Because you're pursuing him. And if you could have did it in the flesh, if you could have obtained righteousness in your own works, guess what? Jesus would not have had to die on that cross for us. Amen? So we're able to just receive the Spirit. And this is what Paul is saying to the Galatians church. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Let's go back there for a second. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How does he do it? Hearing of faith. He does it because we trust that he has our best interest at heart. Amen? And so the just shall live by trust. The just shall live by trust. The just shall live by trust. God, I trust that even though I'm going through the situation and all hell is breaking loose in my life, I trust that you're going to bring me to the other side. Amen? I trust that you are my great physician, that you're going to heal me, and I'm going to press and I'm going to believe you and come out the other side. I'm going to go a step further. I trust, God, that your word says that this is sinful and this is dangerous and this is going to bring me to a bad place in my life, so I'm going to deal with this addiction. I'm going to deal with this attitude. Even though everything in me wants to just continue the way I'm going, I'm going to trust that you know something that I don't know, and when I come out of this thing, I'll be better for it. We live by trust in our God, don't we? Faith is persuasion and reliance upon Christ. You know, it's interesting because Christian faith is not blind faith. There's faith that people have faith in other religions and other deities and gods and whatnot, but it's because they were taught it. So they believe without evidence. But for us, our faith actually does something different. It actually supplies God's power. Amen? And so Christian faith is not blind faith. It is a supply of the Holy Spirit. It's a supply of miracles that come into our life so in order that we may be blessed and in order that we may prosper. Isn't that good? I mean, this is good news. You guys look like you drank lemon juice. Some of you smile because I'm telling you, it's good news. The supply of the Spirit, when we trust that God is at work in our lives, it releases the Spirit's power to come and transform us and take us to the next level. So we need to continue to trust that every promise in the Word of God is our promise. Is that good news this morning? You know, faith releases the abounding surplus of God's provision through grace. And if we stop trusting that the Word of God is for us. I had somebody come and they were meditating. They had all these scriptures about healing. They were trying to get a healing. They had like pages of, and they said, we're meditating on the scripture. And I stopped and I took the scriptures away. I said, you need to meditate on one scripture and how much God loves you. If you can get a revelation of how much he loves you, you're just going to take one or two scriptures and grab a hold of it and you'll get your healing. The foundation is the love of God. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Isn't that good news? So let's look at John. Let's see what Jesus has to say about this. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. John chapter 7, verse 37. Is everyone okay this morning? Great. John chapter 7, verse 37. To 39. And Jesus is saying something here. He says, on the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out. Now, the reason why he cried it out was because it was something that it was very important for people to hear. And look what he says here. If anyone thirsts, are you an anyone? Let him come to me and drink. I want you to say, I'm an anyone. You know, my daughter, she's 5. And I remember when she was 3 or 4, she would go up to use the bathroom. She was potty trained, but she didn't like finishing her business, if you know what I mean. If your parents, she liked the parent to come in, right? And you would hear her, she'd go to the washroom, and then you'd hear, Mommy, Mommy. We'd be talking. We're like, yeah, we better go. And then you'd hear, Daddy. We're in the middle of something, so we're taking our time. And then you'd hear, Josiah or Hannah. You'd hear all these names. Then you would hear, Anybody. Anybody? And I'm like, we better go down now. It's quite cute. But look what the scripture says here. If anyone thirsts, are you thirsty this morning? Let him come to me and drink. And here's the key, verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Well, I know Christians that, you know, it doesn't seem like they have any life. The only thing that flows out of their mouth is bitterness and resentment and anger. And, you know, they're always backbiting and gossiping. There's no life. There's no river. There's nothing good. But the key is you can't just believe in Jesus. You have to believe in him as the scriptures define him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he healed someone when he was on the earth, he's healing them today. Amen? He is life. He is joy. You can't, we got Christians today, I call them scrapbook Christians, and they cut little portions of the gospel out and they slap them on their wall and say, this is who Jesus is to me. Well, that's why you have no life in you, because you don't believe that he is who he says he is. And if you don't believe, as the scriptures have said, there's no overflow. The overflow comes from trusting that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. It's Jesus. Jesus is not, he's not a doctrine. He's a person. Isn't that good? And so, Christians will always be the most persecuted people. But I'll tell you this, they're also the most blessed, fulfilled, anointed people. God's got a calling, he's got a destiny for us, and if we walk in it, there will be an overflow of God's Spirit that will come out. Amen? So faith in a biblical Jesus, faith in the truth will release the supply of the Holy Spirit and miracles. You know, I was walking downtown the other day. I was rushing back for a meeting. I was coming back from, and there was a couple Jehovah's Witnesses standing out there, and they had a sign. And on the sign it said, we know the true interpretation of scriptures. Come to us. And I'm sitting there, you know, I'm thinking, you know, like, you can't even translate the scriptures for yourself. You have to go to the Watchtower Society. And anything that's contrary to what they believe, they say you're not hearing God. So how can you make that statement? Because the Holy Spirit comes to lead us into all truth. And so I didn't have time to rush over and talk to them about this. But the point is, I got irritated because Jesus is not a doctrine. He's a person. Isn't that true? John chapter 5, verse 39, in case you don't believe me, let's read it together. You search the scriptures because you think that they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. Jesus is part of the Trinity. You can try to cut it up, dissect it, and say it's not true, but the scripture says it. And if you want that river flowing, you got to believe it the way it's written. Amen? So how many here you say, I have faith? Who does Jesus say he is? Let me ask you that question. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Isn't he? And so if he's the way, the truth, and the life, we need to be part of him in order to have truth in our life. And so I wanted to read a scripture to you here that would really open that up. John chapter 16, go to John chapter 16, verse 13. Do you guys find it hot in here, or is it just me? I'm wondering if the air conditioner is not working. Okay. I got menopause, what? You know, can someone bring there's a whiteboard I put over there. Can you bring it up with a marker? Because I want to just touch on something here. Where's my usher? Where's Bill? My stand, everything should be up here. You're fired. No, I'm just kidding. You're a volunteer. I can't fire you. I'm just... How do you fire a volunteer? No, just kidding. And we have a marker there? There we go. We'll get through it. I want you to see something here, and this is in John chapter 18, verse 37. And Pilate said to Jesus, okay, are you the king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am the king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Therefore, who is of the truth hears my voice. And so you have Pilate over here, okay? This is Pilate. And this is the truth. This is who Jesus is. And the script, what Jesus is saying here, he's saying that he who is of the truth hears my voice. So in order to, you have to be in the truth. See, the truth isn't something that you can observe, it's something you have to experience. Amen? The truth is not something that you observe from the distance. The truth is something that you have to understand by becoming part of it. And Jesus is saying here, only the people who are part of the truth, who are in the truth, can fully understand the kingdom of God. Pilate said to him, what is truth? He's still confused because Pilate's sitting here trying to look at truth. And that's why we run into people who don't understand Christ. You cannot understand the gospel. You cannot understand Jesus until you're in the truth. Amen? You can't observe it. I've argued with atheists. I've argued with people of other faith. I've read the Bible. It makes no sense. Nothing. But then they get saved, and the very next thing is like, I understand it. It makes sense. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of, and He leads us into Christ. Isn't that good news? Now go to John chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you to the truth. Is that what it says? It says he will guide you into all truth. Amen? For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of the things to come. You know, it's like this. People don't even believe in heaven and hell anymore. You do. But the moment they get saved, they say, I just know that I know I'm going to heaven. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. It's like I've been baptized into Christ. And when you're baptized into Christ, who is the truth, all of a sudden everything, you're fully immersed, and all of a sudden the truth is in you. You're in the truth, and you begin to change from the inside out because the truth, you're marinating in the truth of God. And we have Christians here that want to observe the truth and say, I got to get better. I've got to measure up to the truth. I've got to deal with things in my life. And what I'm saying this morning is what you've begun in the spirit. Don't go back to the flesh. Don't go back to behavior modification. I got to work at it. I got to work. No, get into the truth and stay in the truth because it's our faith that supplies. I want you to say the word supply. The word, the faith supplies the Spirit's power, and miracles begin to happen among you. Isn't that good news this morning? So, however, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will speak not on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. And then look what it says here. He will glorify me. And I want to stop here for a second because, number one, he guides us into all truth. Say, the Holy Spirit guides me into truth. He will tell me of things to come. And we could do a whole sermon on that second point. We won't. Number three, he will glorify me. Now, I want to talk about that for a second. How does the Holy Spirit glorify Jesus through us? It tells us right here, he will glorify me. How? By taking what belongs to Jesus and declaring it to you. When people see that we're blessed, when people see that we're healed, when people see that we're full of joy, when people see that we're transformed, it glorifies God. Isn't it true? When you're walking around and you're full of the joy of God and you're happy and you're praying for the sick and you're caring for people and the love of God is pouring out of you, it's like a fountain that's coming out of you. The world says, I want to know Jesus. He's a good God. I want to know the Father. Because why? You're representing Jesus. So Jesus is saying, I want to glorify you. You know what that word glorify means? God wants to praise you. So you come to church and you go, I praise you, God. You're awesome. I love you. And God is up in heaven going, you're awesome. I love you. You're a great, you are my beloved son. You're my beloved, and I'm so proud of you, daughter. And God is praising us back, and we're sitting there wallowing in our unbelief going, I don't know if God loves me. I don't know if I'll ever change. And God's up there rooting on saying, yes, I believe in you. You're in Christ. Make the right decisions. God is cheering you on. He's praising you. Isn't that good news this morning? Isn't this good news? Amen? And so if we could get a revelation that God glorifies, see, we think God, we glorify God by doing this. We worship, and we do. But another way we glorify God is we allow the Spirit of God to bring supply into our life so that we can be transformed from the inside out. I'm telling you, when I got saved and had an encounter with the Spirit of God, I came home, didn't know anything. I was in church, had an encounter, went to the altar, and I put a movie on, started watching a movie, and I heard Jesus' name in an inappropriate way in the movie. Never would have bothered me before. I smashed the video. I was so mad because the truth was inside of me. Does that make sense? Suddenly, I couldn't hang out with the same friends, not because I didn't like him or I was judging, but it's just like, I can't relate to you anymore because the truth has set me free. And from the inside out, the truth is bringing life. Isn't that good? And so, I want you to remember this morning. If you take anything away from this message, I want you to hear this. Okay? God is a rewarder. God wants to bless you. And even if it's painful for the moment. I've gone through, we think sometimes faith means that, you know, we don't have any trials, we don't have any, no, it's not, no, because God, sometimes God delivers you through the problem. He doesn't take the problem away. We talked about Elijah a few weeks ago, and Elijah went and he battled all of the prophets of Baal, and then all of a sudden one woman comes out, Jezebel, and she says, I'm going to kill you by tomorrow. And he runs. And he's sitting there, and he's sitting there, and he doesn't know what to think. He's sitting there in this place of despair, and he says, woe is me. And the Lord speaks to him and says, what's wrong? Why are you here? And what does he say? He says, I'm the only one left. See, the problem was everybody else was killed. All of God's good people are killed. All the prophets are killed, and I'm the only one left. I'm all by myself. That was the problem. But the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, I have reserved 7,000 others that have not kneel down to Baal. And all of a sudden, his perspective changed and he realized, hey, I've got some battle buddies left. And he was able to pull himself up and go back to war. And sometimes you're going to be in a situation, you're going to be in a trial, you're going to be a problem. Say, God, deliver me from the problem. God says, no, I'll deliver you through it. He did it with Joseph. He did it with Daniel. He delivered them through the problem. He didn't take the problem away. And so when we have faith, true faith will sometimes change our perspective by the Spirit's power and be able to take us through the problem, and God will build character through it. Amen? Isn't that good news? So, if you trust Jesus, it will release the supply of the Holy Spirit's power to work in your life. God is so good. Anyone get anything out of this word today? Amen? And the nice thing about being a preacher is I get to prepare it, and God begins to stir me up again. You know? And so I want to say this, is that if you can get one thing, just remember when you go that God is a rewarder. God wants to bless you. He glorifies himself by blessing you so that you can be a true example of God's character to the world. Amen? Is God happy? Is he joyful? Amen? So we need to be that way. And so what I want to do this morning is, first of all, maybe you're in this place, and you feel like you've been an observer. Maybe you're here for the first time, and you've seen people up here, like totally, you're going, what are they doing? They're up here, and they're doing this. My wife here is sitting here on her knees, and she's worshiping, and Michelle's worshiping and everything. You're saying, that's weird. Why are they doing that? And you might not understand it because that means you're still here, you see. But once you're baptized or immersed into Christ, when you're in here, you fall in love with God. And it's no longer a religion, it's a relationship.